download all of Red Apple Media's podcasts right now through your favorite podcast platform.
The only president we have, name is Joe Biden. All right. And he's talking yesterday, and he says the following: MAGA Republicans in Congress are threatening to undo all this progress by letting us default on the debt unless we agree to their demands. Now, here's the key. The two are totally unrelated. Whatever you pay, whether you pay the debt or not, doesn't have a darn thing to do with what your budget is. Where are you going to spend money? How are you going to raise the money? What are you going to cut? Where are you going to? They're two separate issues. So let me get this right. I'm going to go to you first, Liz Peek. Spending has nothing to do with borrowing or debt. Nothing. Or debt has nothing to do with spending. That's what he's saying here. So I think we could be in for a long summer. I don't know. But you tell me, how do you get to where he's getting?
Well, I think what he's saying is we can talk about the spending and the budget in September. Raising the debt ceiling is all about spending we've already approved. And I mean, that's the distinction he's trying to draw. But the problem is, I think actually not much has been said about this. And I think literally it is the case. You can't count on Joe Biden or the Democrats to come through with any kind of promises. In other words, on May 9, when they all sit down, he might say, well, look, we're going to cut spending just the way you want. But first, you have to give me a clean debt ceiling increase. There's no way Kevin McCarthy can take that back to the Republican caucus. Mm. Look at what happened with Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin made a deal with the Democrats and with Joe Biden to approve the Inflation Reduction Act in return for permitting and other things he wanted in that act. And they totally pulled the rug out from under him. So there is no negotiating with this crew. And, you know, if the president had wanted to avoid this standstill, he should have allowed the Republicans to have some say in the omnibus bill that passed last year.
So therefore, borrowing does have something to do with spending.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I'm trying to establish here. If we hadn't done the spending in the first place, and he's done whatever, $5 or $6 trillion in a couple of years, which is a nice piece of change, we wouldn't be in the fix we're in, or we'd be in the fix later. I don't know which. But, I mean, Steve Moore, if he doesn't understand that A leads to B, we got an even bigger problem here than I think we have.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this in the context of, I remember back in, 2011, when John Boehner was negotiating with Obama, and I did an interview with him. I was at the Wall Street Journal at the time, and, you know, Boehner told me the story that became, you know, a really big headline around the country, which is Boehner asked Obama about the spending problem. And Obama said very famously, we don't have a spending problem in Washington. And that became a big headline. And I just mentioned that incident because
that's what this is.
Exactly. I'm sure that Joe Biden would say the same. What spending problem? There's not a spending problem in Washington. So here's the, but let's not bury the lead here. The most important thing is that, as I said, Kevin McCarthy is Time Magazine's Man of the Year. He is the guy who has really put Joe Biden in a box that is collapsing on him. And there's no reason for Republicans to be saying much of anything right now. First of all, Joe Biden can't even get his own Senate to pass a budget. Why is he talking about John Boehner? I mean, Kevin McCarthy and the Republicans when Chuckie Schumer can't get 51 votes for, let alone 60 for any kind of thing. So I think that McCarthy should just sit back and smile politely and say, when you got a deal, we're ready to negotiate. We passed the debt ceiling. We passed it. It's the Democrats who haven't passed one, and just sit back, because I have never seen, I said this on your TV show the other day, I haven't seen the Republicans this unified in 30 years.
By the way, here's one, Liz. This is, you write for The Hill, don't you?
Yes, I do.
All right, so there's a headline from The Hill. McConnell warns he won't back debt ceiling increase without substantive reforms.
Yeah. Woo,
how about
finally.
That?
I mean, finally, right?
You know, Mitch fell. He had a bad fall, which is, I didn't wish to. And he had concussion therapy. All right. And he's come back better after this concussion therapy. So this is terrific. McConnell said,
you mean he, in this therapy, you think that actually worked out some kinks and now he gets it? We need to have spending cuts.
I'm telling you, the guy's a new man and he's come back. No more omnibus bill. No debt ceiling increase without substantive reforms. I'm proud of him. Concussion therapy.
I think what's happened, and I think this is interesting because I think what's happened is that polling is showing Democrats and Republicans that the American people actually care about our spending. And the reason is inflation. End of story. Mm-hmm. I mean, for 2 or 3 years, that connection has been made by voters. Too much spending leads to inflation. What do we have now? We have a Fed that has ratcheted up interest rates so violently that banks are failing, all because of inflation. People get it. Inflation is a bad thing. So, frankly, I think it's high time that McConnell got on board this ship. It's taken him far too long. If we had a little more gusto out of McConnell, maybe we wouldn't have had that horrible omnibus bill. But thank heavens now, to your point, Steve, I think Republicans really are united. And isn't it ironic? Because all we heard during that whole fight over the speakership was how it was a fractious caucus. It was never going to get together on anything. Well, thank heavens, that's not true.
By the way, Steve, you know, I've been saying this on this show. Greg Ipp, right, is not exactly a card-carrying supply-sider, but Greg Ipp wrote a good piece, I think it was yesterday or the day before, where he said, look, a debt deal could help solve the country's inflation problem. Spending cuts could prompt the Fed to cut interest rates sooner, easing some of the pressure on banks. I mean, that's a very good insight. And
so, Larry, can I say something about that? Because it's really, you're making a very important point. And one of the smartest guys on Wall Street, Jeff Yass, who runs Susquehanna Capital and has become a billionaire because he's one of the smartest guys. He's a hedge fund manager. He has put out a statement saying if the president were to agree to the deal that Kevin McCarthy's put on the table, it's worth $5 trillion on the stock market. And he said agreeing to raise the debt ceiling without spending reforms probably cuts about $2 trillion. So it's exactly the opposite, of course, is what the Biden administration is saying. Unless you give me everything I want, we're going to have a crash in the market. No, that if Biden were to say, and it would be in his own economic interest and political interest to agree to what McCarthy said, because he'd be a winner here. You would see a cessation of inflation. You see a big boost in the stock market. I wonder if you agree with that analysis. You're pretty good at this too, Larry.
Well, I agree with the thrust of it. I mean, and I believe that Jay Powell should be saying things like this also.
Exactly. Right. Yep. Jay, and he's not. Right. And I fault Powell on that because and I have lived through a lot of Fed chairmen, and they've been really good on saying, get down, you know, cut that spending, cut the debt. And Powell won't say that.
Well, what you got here is McConnell went through successful concussion therapy. But Jay Powell needs spinal surgery. That's what he needs. I mean, he should come out. And he doesn't have to endorse McCarthy. He doesn't have to talk about that. But he should say something about what Greg Ipp just wrote, for example. It would free up the Fed.
Who was the other big Wall Street guy?
Stanley Druckenmiller.
He said it right. He said, you know, you're worried about this 30-foot wave that's coming, and behind that is a 200-foot wave, which is called the debt itself. And
no, it's the spending. Right. The spending.
Yeah, it's the
and
spending. Yep.
Stanley, years ago, Stan Druckenmiller, who's a good friend and a very, very smart, successful guy, you know, Stan years ago during that Boehner thing, I think it was during that one anyway, he said, look, if you pay the interest on the Treasury bond 10 days later in return for significant spending cuts, it's worth it. And see, that's what people are missing here. Or you guys aren't missing it, but I'm saying a lot of people are missing it.
Right.
But for Joe Biden to say there's no connection between spending and borrowing is insane. And it is like Obama saying we don't have a spending problem. But before we take a quick break, do you think anything's going to happen, Steve, at this meeting with the Four Corners on Tuesday?
the four corners. No, I think Biden is really, but he will. I'm going to make a prediction. He is going to have to. He's going to have to make some real concessions here.
Yeah.
Because as I said, I mean, you know, Liz and I are at the same conference right now with a lot of these Freedom Caucus members. We're in Florida, and they, I don't know, Liz, they seem pretty committed to, you know, to taking a hard stance here.
Yeah, they do. And they're poo-pooing the idea that the world will come to a shattering halt if they don't arrive at a deal by June 1. I think, look, the left-leaning media like Bloomberg, CNBC, et cetera, boy, they are calling for catastrophe and the end of the global system as we know
as
it.
We know it.
But Larry, you have said many times, and I think it's worth remembering, there's a lot of the ways the Treasury can meet their obligations without, you know, tremendous heartburn if indeed we get to that point.
I was talking to LaVornia about this. I mean, the way this works is, I mean, they can keep borrowing from the retirement funds forever. Okay. It's civil service. It's the postal workers. It's the thrift savings plan. What they're doing here, the game is they are not investing into those funds. Instead, they give them a non-marketable bond, essentially an IOU that they will make the investment later on. And in fact, you could have a whole new market of non-marketable IOUs. I mean, we could do this forever, trillions and trillions of dollars. In effect, the U.S. government never runs out of money. So that argument is silly. But I do think Janet Yellen inadvertently did everybody a favor by putting up June 1, whether that's true or not. And theoretically, it's not true. As a practical matter, cash flow, it could be true. But that might force somebody to do something. Right? Right now, except for Kevin McCarthy, nobody else is doing anything. So if we with next few weeks, you know, maybe they'll figure out they have to do something. I don't know.
But again, I think also the polling shows people really don't think Joe Biden is up to the job. And everything in the last 48 hours, 72 hours, whatever, has really kind of amplified that again. I mean, this whole thing about saying we're going to have a big press conference. Don't worry, I'll get to your questions. And then, oops, there wasn't any press conference. You know, I think his ability to actually negotiate, people are really questioning that. So I think there's more riding on this for the president than he thinks, and that the Democrats think. They think they have the high level here. I'm not sure that's true.
Well, you might be going to jail in the next 3 weeks, this pay-for-play thing with Ukrainian money. I mean, this gets spookier and spookier. The FBI's got documents. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, let's take a break. It's all allegations. I will acknowledge it's all allegations. When we come back, I want to talk about Ron DeSantis. His legislative session is over. He's going to formally announce for president in a week or two. We're talking to Liz Peek, and we're talking to Steve Moore. I'm Kudlow. We'll be right back.
Larry Kudlow. This is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. We're talking to Liz Peek, Fox News contributor, syndicated columnist, and we're talking to Steve Moore, whose great radio show, More Money, follows this show. So, kids, the legislature is done, and Ron DeSantis is going to announce for president formally, I don't know, sometime soon. Could be the next few days, next few weeks. I would argue he's been running. He's gone overseas and whatever. But he is, depending on the poll, 30 or 40 points down to Trump. The question is, how does DeSantis get back into it, and does his formal announcement close the polling at all? Start with you, Steve Moore. What do you think?
Well, 3 months ago, all the big money, all the Koch network money, all the Club for Growth money and so on, was investing very, very heavily on Ron DeSantis. I mean, a couple hundred million dollars came into his coffers. But he's had a bad couple of months. And I say this as a fan of Ron DeSantis. I think he's been an absolutely fantastic governor. You know, what he is, that the growth of Florida at the expense of California and New York and Connecticut and states like that has been incredible. It's the number one destination place in America. He now has the most sweeping school choice regime of any state in the United States. That's a really important issue right now, given how depraved our schools are. And so he's got a lot of accomplishments. The question is whether he can kind of make the sale. I'll just say one other thing. He's a little Trumpish, you know, in his kind of smash mouth approach. And I don't know if you can out Trump Trump. You know what I mean?
No. What do you mean, actually?
you know, he's abrasive like Trump can be. And he can, you know, he kind of stacks people in the nose. He can come on strong. And, you know, if people don't want Trump, I don't know if they want a kind of mini me version of Trump. But I would defer to you guys on that one.
So, Liz, what should DeSantis do to get back into the race?
Well, look, he let Trump sort of identify him and kind of take potshots at him for about a month and a half. I think that was a mistake. I think he should have started fighting back. Now he is. You know, but we all are sort of convinced that Trump has really made great progress. The truth is, if you look at the two people's approval ratings side by side, Trump is underwater nationally by about 20 points. Mm. And this is a combination of polls. DeSantis has a positive net approval rating. So, you know, if the question is, how does he win the primaries? Because I don't think there's a question that he beats Joe Biden in the general election.
I mean Bob Kennedy.
Well, yeah, exactly.
That was
maybe,
a joke.
Maybe.
Just kidding.
Yeah,
that was
no,
a joke.
You never know.
Joke.
But by the way, it's a tremendous indictment of Joe Biden that Kennedy has got, what, 19% or 20% of the vote. I mean, it's incredible to me. But anyway, I think DeSantis is an excellent character candidate. He's got an incredible CV. He's got everything except he's got to figure out the primary voters. And I think if Republicans voters come around to thinking he can win, surely at some point that makes a difference. And if they're convinced that Trump can't.
One thing he should do, in my humble opinion, is start talking about the economy and falling real wages and inflation and stop fighting Walt Disney.
I agree.
I mean, I think the Disney thing has hurt him among his own supporters. He won. He got the legislation to stop the, you know, up to 5 years old to stop talking about sex and gender in school. He won that. Now he's involved in a governance race. He needs to get back to kitchen table issues. That's what he needs to do.
Yeah, and by the way, Florida gives them plenty of opportunity to do that.
Sure.
This is a successful state. I mean, it works and it continues to work. And low taxes and low regulation. Oh, my gosh, does he have a story to tell? Larry, you're totally right. He needs to tell that story.
Steve, you have to go and tutor him. You got to get down there and tutor him, you and Arthur.
Well,
go and tutor him.
We all will because we're going to have him in New York in a couple of months, and we will, for the committee, one of our committee dinners. And Larry, I want you to tutor him too. I mean, look, great record, amazing success story. I love the idea. You know what? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had a Gavin Newsom versus Ron DeSantis, a Florida versus California? Because California is a mess. I was just reading. 2-mile-long homeless encampments now in California. Mm. You don't see that in Florida.
Mm. No, that's right. He just has to tell the story. That Wall Street Journal editorial, New York versus Florida. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one place to start. And then just, you know, start attacking. I mean, instead of attacking Disney, he should be attacking Joe Biden's mismanagement of the economy. And it's not hard. He's got plenty of material to work with. Taxes, regulations, inflation, spending, borrowing, you know, that's what he needs to do. He can get back into the race very fast if he does that.
I agree. And I think also, by the way, I think Trump looks small going after DeSantis. I think if DeSantis trained his guns on Biden, that would be a very welcome shift. Mm. And that's where the conversation should be.
That's what I think. By the way, you know who's showing up well on the issues is our friend Vivek Ramaswamy.
Oh, my gosh. He was here 2 nights ago, Larry, and he mesmerized the crowd. Unfortunately, I was not here, but apparently, I mean, you know, he's really doing well and winning people over. So it's a long shot, to be sure, but I must say he does have a good pitch, and people are really taken in by it.
I think, Steve, with Vivek, who's a very bright young man, he will make a very good contribution in the debates to the issues discussion. He will force an issues discussion, which I think is a great contribution for him to make.
Yeah, we also saw last night at this conference Chris Sununu. And Sununu is fantastic, too. He blew away the crowd. I mean, here's the thing. There are a lot of really, really, really good Republican governors around the country. I mean, I love Kim Reynolds. I love the governor of Virginia, Glenn Youngkin. I love Governor Stitt of Oklahoma. In other words, that's where the real talent pool of the Republican Party is with respect to really talented and governors who've really delivered on tax cuts, on school choice, on, you know, balancing the budget, all these things that never happened in Washington.
Which conference are you at now?
FreedomWorks Conference. Yeah,
FreedomWorks.
We miss you, Larry. We can't understand why you're not here with us.
Well, I love FreedomWorks. I had to politely decline due to my responsibility. You know, working for a living is very difficult, kids.
But it is terrific. We've had a lot of good speakers. I just interviewed Representative Massey from Kentucky. He is an awesome guy.
Yep.
And a lot of energy in this Republican Congress. I remember when Kevin McCarthy went through his trial by fire, everyone was so convinced that they would never get together. I think there's a lot that this Republican Congress has done, including first 4 months. Mm. Every bill has had 72 hours for everyone to review it. Mm. You know, that hasn't happened in decades.
No, I agree. It's a good group. I think the so-called conservative push made the conference better. And I think they're going to hang tough on the debt ceiling. Anyway, you're both terrific. Liz Peek and Steve Moore. Steve Moore's radio show will follow this show. It's called Moore's Money. Thanks, kids. We will be back next weekend, everybody.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.